Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Glad to have you listening today, and welcome to Flag Day 2017. I always love to see the flags flying, and my neighbor's up putting some out this morning. Just it looked really nice.
So yeah.
It's a good thing. I came across this quote from Adlai Stevenson. He said, "Patriotism is not short, frenzied outbursts of emotion, but the tranquil and steady dedication of a lifetime." And, you know, the reason I thought that quote was kind of fitting today, because we're going to talk about the steady dedication of a lifetime. The topic today is on dating after you're married and why it's a key element of a strong and loving relationship.
Dating your spouse after you're married.
Well, I guess
key
sure.
Caveat
yeah,
there.
For sure. Yeah. That's so helpful, Ted.
Yes, I mean, yes.
that is good. Yes.
Seeing.
Well, yes. A couple of quotes. A successful marriage requires falling in love many times, but always with the same person.
So yeah, that's right.
That's good. And I came across this one this morning. Being married is like having a best friend who doesn't remember anything you say. Yeah, I can kind of relate to that. Someone else said 90% of being married is just shouting, "What?" from the other room.
Yeah, that's right.
Pretty much me. An archaeologist is the best husband any woman can have. The older she gets, the more interested he is in her.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not saying that our guests are archaeologists, but they have found a way to be more and more interested in each other in the second half of marriage. In fact, they've written a book called The Second Half of Marriage and a number of other great books. And we're going to talk about great dates today. I was just thinking, I know that, you know, my wife and I probably don't date nearly as much as we should, you know, find mm-hmm. times to get away. And I'm kind of more on the, Scandinavian, Ole and Sven talking about it. I said, yeah, well, Ole says, for our 25th anniversary, I took my wife to the old country.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, for her 50th, I'm going to go back and get her. But no, that's
oh,
not.
Oh, boy.
That's all right. We're going to try and recover now with the David and Claudia Arp coming back to Faith Radio. We love David and Claudia. They're founders of Marriage Alive International, a groundbreaking ministry dedicated to providing resources and training to empower churches to help build better marriages. And they're authors of a number of books and curriculum, including the 10 Great Dates series, and then, as we mentioned, the second half of marriage. And we go way back. And when they're not hiking around trails in Northern Virginia, they'd love to be hiking someplace like the Alps. But they're taking some time to join us today. Dave and Claudia, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Oh, thanks, Neil. Great to be back.
Yeah, I like some of your quotes there. That were pretty
Can
good.
Can we use them?
Yes, they're, I found them on the internet, so they must be free. I think that's
must be good. And Ted didn't correct you, so I guess
yeah.
And it does help if you're married to be dating your spouse.
That's true. In fact, let me ask you that. I mean, because somehow I think we've is that just a modern notion that we have to date our spouse, or I mean, maybe we just have sort of missed that concept that we think once we're married, the dating isn't something we're even thinking about anymore.
Well, for most couples, you know, dating is what you did before you got married. And, many years ago, we discovered that one of the best ways to keep our marriage strong and fun is to have regular dates. So we've sort of been the dating champions. You know, we were the dating couple before dating was cool.
way back. As you
way
said,
back.
We go back a long
we go way
time.
Back.
Well, yeah, go ahead, Dave. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, you know, that I think for all of us couples who've been married a few years, we find that, you know, when the kids come along, careers take off, you know, it's not that we don't want to spend time together, but it's just, you know, life sort of takes over. And dating is it has several benefits. One, it helps you be intentional about your marriage. It's not that we don't want to be intentional, but we just sort of, you know, next week, next weekend, you know, next month, whatever, somewhere out there in the future. And we think of dating as being, oh, we got to get dressed up and, you know, got to go out to eat, it's going to cost money and all that kind of stuff. So
it helps you be intentional, and also you're modeling for your children and, you know, for us, our grandchildren. And, you know, we work with a lot of young couples, and we say, look, Your children will wait while you grab some moments for your marriage, but your marriage is not going to wait till your kids grow up. And so dating, you're modeling. They just want to know mom and dad are going to, you know, they love each other, and they're not going to get divorced like my friend's parents down the street.
So it helps you be intentional. You're modeling for your kids or your grandkids. And then it builds your friendship. And you mentioned the second half of marriage. And we did several national surveys in writing that book. And we found that the friendship factor is the best indicator of a successful long-term marriage. And how do you build your friendship? By spending time together. And how do you spend time together? By intentionally dating. So, you know, there's at least three reasons we think dating is important.
I like it.
You want more?
Yeah, well, we'll get to it. We'll unpack them as we go along. We're going to talk today about the $10 great dates. In fact, we've got some copies of this book to give away. And it's the subtitle is Connecting Love, Marriage, and Fun on a Budget. And I think, well, you know, 10 bucks, just about anybody could probably come up with that. And, of course, a lot of these actually that you have listed here don't really cost anything at all. And maybe just say a bit about that. I mean, as you have done various permutations of the 10 Great Dates series, talk about this one in particular. What's unique about this?
Well, one of the major complaints, you know, we can't date because we just don't have the finances, you know. And so our thoughts in doing this book with our co-authors, Peter and Heather Larson, was to come up with at least 52 dates that you can do for $10 or less. And so that's the whole gist of this book. But there are books out there that just give you all these, you know, crazy dating suggestions that no one's ever done. Well, either us or the Larsons or someone we know have done all of these dates. And we tried to also give just a little bit of content.
So it's not just a fun date or an unusual date, but it has a purpose. That you're doing something to increase the conversation, increase the intimacy in your relationship, which is what most of us want. We want to increase that feeling of closeness, that feeling of intimacy. And so the dates there, each of these 52 dates, there's the idea for the date. You know, what is it you sort of want to work towards. There's the
before the date tips, and then on your date, what to do. And then we give talking points. You know, sometimes couples say, well, my date, but what do we talk about? So we give them talking points, and then at the end, a great date takeaway, just some little nugget for their relationship.
And
sort of the sweet spot between, you know, the silly date books and our 10 Great Dates to Energize Your Marriage, which is more in-depth and is also a curriculum. Sure. But this is just, you know, fun dates that you can do for $10 or less.
Well, you know,
as you said, many of them are free.
We kind of laugh about it that, you know, what are we going to talk about? But I guess that's kind of the reality as life gets busy, children come along. I mean, we tend to end up talking about, you know, work and kids all the time. And that's really, that probably doesn't qualify as a date, does it?
No, as a matter of fact, one of the things you can't do on these dates is you can't talk about your kids, finances, or your mother-in-law.
You need to have a regular business meeting to handle those issues.
Sure.
That's a whole other radio program.
Well, we're talking today with Dave and Claudia Arp about the $10 Great Dates, Connecting Love, Marriage, and Fun on a Budget. And we're going to review some different ones and get a lot of tips as we go along. By the way, we'll open up our phone lines, too, if you want to sign up for a copy. We've got several copies of the book to give away, and we'd love to have you sign up for that. And you can also join in with a question if you have, or maybe just a favorite date that you and your spouse have taken. Let us know. We'd love to just interact with you, or just want to say hey to Dave and Claudia. We'd love to have you come on the show. It's 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. And you can also drop us a note online. You want to sign up for the book on the email, you can do this as well. MyFaithRadio.com is the website. You can go to the Connecting Faith show page. It's MyFaithRadio.com. By the way, the $10 Great Dates, we also have a companion book, you know, a little bit a different topic, but this is something that Dave and Claudia have written as well with Peter and Heather Larson called He's Almost a Teenager, Essential Conversations to have now that he's almost a teenager. And so if you maybe are in that season of life and would like a copy of that, just let us know and we'll add your name in the drawing for that as well. And speaking of teenagers, we'll talk about, you know, how do you date when you got, you know, teenagers, and do they change in different seasons of life? And then we're going to jump in some favorites, inside, outside, bucket lists, surprise me, all sorts of things. All ahead here on Connecting Faith. You know, as the song suggests, it shouldn't be anything higher on the list than love. But the fact is that, you know, as we enter into marriage and life gets busy and children come along and ups and downs, you know, a lot of things get on the list, sometimes higher than love and romance and relationship building. So we're talking about it today, talking about great dates, $10 great dates, connecting love, marriage, and fun on a budget with Dave and Claudia Arp. Dave and Claudia are founders of Marriage Alive, and they've created the many 10 great dates seminars and resources that are used across the country and internationally. They've also written an award-winning book called The Second Half of Marriage. And they've got kids and grandkids, and they've tried out all the dates that we're going to be talking about today. So these folks are experts, if there's such a thing as dating experts. But, well, they understand how to have a good time and really build into each other's lives and why we can learn a lot from them. Dave and Claudia, I was just interested, is this more about sort of a quality or quantity? Is the amount of time important, or does it just have to be a big deal when it happens?
I think you've got to have a combination of both. It's hard to have quality time if you rarely are together. So, but, you know, you can, you don't need a big block of time to have a great date, because dating is an attitude, and you can turn anything into a date, even if you have to go, you know, pick up your dry cleaning, go together and stop for coffee on the way home, or, you know, if you have kids and you're dropping them off for soccer practice, have a date while they are kicking the ball. You can be walking around the field together, you know, dreaming together about what you're going to do when the kids leave home and you have all that time.
Yeah. So, yeah, it an attitude is basically you can take anything and turn it into a date. You know, every fall we have a flu shot date. And, you know, people sort of laugh like, yeah, oh, right, okay.
We were sharing that last weekend at a 10 Great Dates training we were doing, and people said, what?
Right.
Well, it's something we need to do, and we do it together. And many years ago, we just put a dating spin on it. So, like, this week we had an audiology date. We went together and got our ears checked.
Okay.
And we both need hearing aids.
Okay.
So Neil, what did you say again?
Yeah, sure.
An audiologist, he gave us some really good advice. He said, Dave, now when Claudia is speaking to you or you're talking to her, you look each other in the eye. And we thought, oh, this is a marriage builder.
Sure. That's good. Well, which reminds us, is dating something that's, because you talked about being intentional about marriage, but is it more about, you know, spontaneity, or is it planned, or, again, is that kind of combination of both? So do you end up sort of looking back after you've done some errands and say, oh, I guess we made that into a date, or is there something that makes it unique to make it a date?
Yeah, I think you have to claim it on the front end.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't you, Dave?
Yeah.
Like, we'll go to Costco or Sam's for hors d'oeuvres.
Ooh, okay.
You know, several loops, and it's dinner.
you know, I think there are different, you know, types of dates, but the whole purpose of dating, you know, whether it's, you know, on the way to you know, pick up laundry, or with the kids when they're playing soccer, walking around the track, or, you know, it's being intentional. You're being intentional about your relationship, and I think the $10 great dates, it helps you not only be intentional, but it gives you some help as far as, you know, different types of dates, or adventure dates, or out of town dates, or at home dates, and of course the romantic dates. outdoor dates or seasonal dates. So whatever you're, you sort of flip through and say, oh, okay, this is a cool idea. Let's try this one.
That's what's so helpful about the book because, sometimes it's hard to think up what can we do. We've got a couple of hours. What can we do? And we don't want to spend a lot of money. So this is just like a good resource to have around to jog your memory. Like one of my favorite dates is the lobby hopping dates. And you have so many great hotels there in the Twin City area. And, you can have a date and you just go to the lobby and, it's really cheesy, but we like to sort of like pick each other up.
Okay.
In the lobby. And, you can, if they're not really busy, you can ask to see the honeymoon suite that you were thinking about maybe coming there on your 25th. And, you can, and it's just fun to watch people. So maybe you have, a cup of coffee. You spend your $10 there, and you go home.
We're talking just a lobby of a fancy hotel, right?
Yeah, fancy hotel.
You can go to several.
Not Motel 6.
Okay.
We're talking about,
All right, sure. Yeah, I mean, some of us that are on the cheaper side, we're kind of just want to get the clarification. So that appreciate it.
And one date that we have in the summer, we live in the Washington, D.C. area. And our little village has concerts on the green every Sunday evening. They have free concerts. And so you take your – we go with our folding chairs and picnic basket with dinner, and we sit there and we love watching the concert and listening to the music and just seeing all the families around, the kids running around. It's really old-fashioned. So check what's going on in your community that's free. You'll probably find some free concerts there.
And in fact, I think one of the things you talk about is sort of looking at your community as through the eyes of a tourist, right? So kind of be your own tour guides to take you around the place where you're living.
Yeah, and since we live in the Washington, D.C. area, it's sort of interesting because people come to visit and they say, well, they want to – we just recently went to the National
Museum of Art.
Museum of Art, which we've never been to. So
it's wonderful.
It is. There's a lot of things that we have never seen. We wait until somebody comes and they say, well, we want to go to the, to this museum or that particular place, and then that's when we get to see it because we don't go on our own. So – But being intentional is, there's one that's a Yellow Road date, which is also one of our...
Yeah, that's one of our favorites. We've lived here now. I can't believe it. We've lived here 13 years, and we still don't know our way around Washington, D.C. I don't think anybody really does. I think they say they know, they're lying. But anyway, every time we go in, we ended up turning it into a Yellow Brick Road date because... We're just trying to find our way home. And we will just recently, we had a granddaughter here, and we were doing, some of the museums with her. And we tried to find a place to park near the museum. We ended up across the bridge back in Virginia. And then on our way back home, we got back into Virginia and made the wrong turn and ended up back in D.C. So we just called that our Yellow Road date.
Well, which is
you get lost
and you find your way home.
Yeah.
So you're getting the idea that dating, dating is an attitude, and you can have intentional dates that like the $10 great dates, or you can have impromptu dates that, hey, we got some time, let's go for a hike or whatever. So it's the being intentional is the big part of it.
Yeah, and just to clarify, the yellow brick road was what I think you started by looking at maps, right? And the side roads were generally in yellow, isn't that how it was? Something like that.
Right. That's why it became the Yellow Road date, because we would say on this day you're not going to get on any express highways or anything like that. You're going to do the back roads and just see what you can discover.
Yeah, you don't stop at any...
On $10 gas.
Yeah, don't stop at any fast food restaurants or any, chains. Just, see if you find a little greasy spoon somewhere that, it looks interesting. A lot of locals are there and, go and have a cup of coffee and meet some interesting people.
Sure. I'm wondering, do dates serve maybe a different purpose depending on the season of life we're in or maybe the length of time we're married? I mean, are... Is there a different maybe outcome or you know, return when you're newly married versus when you're, you know, got 40 years in?
Well, I think at any stage, age and stage of marriage or life, dating helps you connect with each other. And that's so important. You know, in the newlywed stage, you're really learning about each other. You know, you may think you know that person until you get married, and then you're discovering new things. And so it's great. We encourage couples in their first year of marriage to do. As a matter of fact, we're in one of the large mega churches here in the D.C. area, and next month we're going to do some training with the mentor couples that mentor engaged couples. And one thing we're going to really encourage them to do, we have a 10 Great Dates Before You Say I Do video curriculum, and that's also with the Larsons. So you want to check that out. But we're going to suggest them using that before marriage, and then for the first year of marriage, we're suggesting they do our 10 Great Dates to Energize Your Marriage, which has just been updated, to help them just develop really good habits of spending time together, but also content of working on their communication and encouragement and setting goals and, you know, sort of balancing their working together and
budget,
sharing
finances,
responsibilities, and the things that you're learning, you know, as a newlywed. And then the young parents, oh, they so need a break. So in $10 Great Dates, there are a lot of at-home dates they can do after the kids go to bed. And so it's important to stay connected.
And
they're not going to have the elaborate, long dates.
Sure. Just to clarify, young families, dates after the kids go to bed, not doing laundry is not probably a date, though, right? Just want to clarify that.
I don't think so.
Okay,
I think
all
that's
right.
A stretch. Okay. I think I'd rather get a flu shot than a laundry date.
yeah, cleaning the oven wouldn't qualify either.
No. So.
But you mentioned before when you have teenagers, oh, my goodness, that's when you really do need some dates to keep your sanity.
Yeah.
And we found when we had teenagers, one of the best times was Saturday morning because they slept all morning.
Sure.
And we could sneak out and go have a great date, you know, a breakfast out, and come back and be refreshed before we started the teenage things.
Yeah, sure. And Ted and Neil, you know, Claudia is my my creative genius. And so when our kids turned teenagers, she said, Neil, we are going to do some things different. I said, really, what's that? She says, we're going to turn our bedroom into a romantic place.
And not Grand Central Station.
Okay. All right. Well, let's hold that thought, because you do have a section on romantic dates. We'll get to that coming up here after the break, talking with Dave and Claudia Arp. They're founders of Marriage Alive International. It's a groundbreaking ministry dedicated to providing resources and training to empower churches and individuals to help build better marriages. We've got some copies of their $10 Great Dates book to give away. You can sign up for a copy. We'll do a drawing here at the top of the hour at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. More with Dave and Claudia are coming up. Celebrating marriage, love, romance, all those things, and doing it on a budget. Connecting love, marriage, and fun on a budget. It's a subtitle of one of Dave and Claudia Arp's great books called $10 Great Dates. In fact, they've written a whole series of 10 Great Dates series. You can find out more on their website, 10greatdates.org. That's 10, the number 10, greatdates.org. Check it out and really recommend their good work. They are founders of Marriage Alive International, and they travel literally around the world just helping to train and to teach and to encourage us to, you know, to really enjoy and get to grow in our love for one another. So we're just talking a little bit before the break, Dave and Claudia, a little bit about, you know, romantic dates. And I know you have a section in there, and somehow I guess we think that, well, should all dates be romantic, I guess, in one sense. But just say a little bit about, you know, some of the romantic, the cheap romantic dates, because maybe some of us think that shouldn't go together, or maybe our guys think cheap romantic sounds good, but maybe, you know, gals don't. But so say more about that.
One date that we enjoyed that was really quite romantic is doing a formal dinner. You could do it under the stars. I think that we have that in our book. But we did it more in the middle of the day and went to a park, and we took we dressed up. We took a tablecloth, candelabra, and, dishes, and we picked up our favorite food. And
you even took our silver.
Yeah, and we had, boombox playing music, and it was just so much fun. It was really romantic, and it was really cheap.
Even danced a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Part of the fun was just watching people, in the park as they were walking along. They're looking at us, they'd point at us, what's that couple over there doing, So, one of our sayings is fun in marriage is serious business. Think about it. Fun in marriage is serious business. We've never met a couple on the way to the divorce court who were having fun. And I don't think that was true of previous generations necessarily, but in our current generation, and particularly the younger generation, they have much higher expectations for their relationship. They really want that emotional connectedness. They really want to feel like they're a team, like they're, in this life together. And, putting that fun helps you build your relationship, and that relationship helps you go the distance. So, romantic dates are certainly, part of it.
One of our favorite dates is the card shop date. And you don't really have to be in a card shop. You can also be in a grocery store or pharmacy, wherever.
Wherever cards can be found.
Cards are sold. But what we do is we look through the romantic cards, and we choose several for each other and just give them to each other right there in the store. And we read them, and we enjoy them, and then we put them back.
Okay.
That keeps it cheap.
I like it.
Yeah.
And, the takeaway for this date is, everybody needs encouragement. Whether you're going through a hard time or not, it makes a real difference to know that someone loves you and is expressing that through a card they chose or through actions or words. And, it's like the Apostle Paul encouraged the Philippians to have positive thoughts and to think about what's, true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. And so, a card shop date is an easy way to up the positives in your relationship in a very short time.
Dave, you said, fun in marriage is serious business. And you said, maybe this is perhaps a challenge for young couples as they are trying to, grow into relationship together. And I know that one of your, new products has just been re-released and focused on millennials. And is it more challenging maybe for our kids and grandkids today in terms of dating and building in a relationship, given kind of how culture sort of pushes them toward just hooking up more than dating and really building that.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a big issue. The other issue is just the whole internet.
That's another program.
Yeah.
But you're right, and so it's the one that has just been updated is the 10 Great Dates to Energize Your Marriage, and this is our basic curriculum, and we have a new DVD with an adorable millennial couple, Dr. Josh and Christy Straub. If you haven't had them on your program yet, you need to put them on their list. They're just amazing. And
they were just on Focus on the Family last week.
Yeah, last week. And they really share from their hearts just what's going on with them, and they're just so vulnerable. And one thing that, this is for the younger group, which I think the older couples are going to enjoy it too, but we actually, in the video, they have a dating diary with their iPhone. They did a little video diary on their dates, and that's part of it. It's really fun. We did our first training last weekend, and everybody just loved the curriculum, so.
You've got you know, children and grandchildren. I'm wondering, and of course, you've been doing you know, Marriage Alive for many years, and you know, committed a lot of miles and the weekends to doing this. But do you see your adult kids maybe picking up some habits and investing in their relationship in a positive way? I mean, is that a rewarding aspect of the work you've been doing?
It's always rewarding when you see your kids. Of course, they pick up on some of the negatives.
In fact, one of our kids' wife are in Iceland.
They're
right
in
now.
Iceland right now on a getaway. So, you know, we're modeling. It doesn't mean that our kids are always going to pick up on our model, but you know, it's one of the greatest gifts we can give our kids. Is to love their mom and dad.
Say a word too about, you know, as we talk about the kids and grandkids. You know, if you are a young couple and you've got young kids, and maybe you know budget's a little tight, you know, you could do a kind of a spontaneous or intentional date, but still figuring out what to do with the kids. You have some recommendations, I know, in the back of the book about how to deal with kind of child care issues.
Right, we actually have a whole list of suggestions in the book. To do a daytime date if they're in a preschool program or something, or you know, that's a great time to do something when they are in an activity. Or you know, if you've got relatives around, you know, you can recruit them. And if you don't have relatives, you can adopt some. I remember when we had little kids, there was a couple that just came to us and said, hey, we want to be available to keep your kids when you need to travel or when you need a date. And let us be, you know, standing grandparents because we didn't have any relatives close to us. You can also trade with other families. You know, we'll keep your kids this, you know, evening and you keep ours the next,
yeah,
and we both get in dates.
This past weekend, one of the couples we were having lunch with, they said that's how they had, what, four kids, nine and under, and they said, you know, that's what they do. They have a neighbor that they just trade off, you know, keeping each other's kids, and that works out really, really well for them. You know, if the kids are out on a sleepover, you know, date, you know, that's a good time to go out on a
date. It's a great time.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then a lot of churches have, you know,
have our 10 Great Dates programs or other parents' night out programs, and that's a great, you know, if they, you know, if you're the church on the corner that offers fun dates and low or free cost, free child care, low cost or free child care, I'll get it right, you know, couples will come and they'll appreciate it. So be the extended family. Reach out to couples in your community.
Good. Churches can play a huge role in helping couples, you know, stay connected.
You know,
and couples in the second half that are missing their children, adopt some and send the couple out on a date.
Well, you know, speaking of second half, I know that you've written the second half of marriage and talked a lot about that. And you know, we're both in that category. I'm just curious, you know, as you have, you know, continue to go on in your married life together, are there aspects that you say, you know, if I was to summarize, here's my greatest joy about the second half of marriage, and is there a greatest concern about the second half? What would that be?
Well, I think the greatest joy for us is that we now have time to do, and
right.
You know, basically we do what we want to do and what we really feel is fulfilling and what God has called us to do. And over the years, we felt like this is what God, you know, equipped us to do, and it's been fun.
I think that the greatest is the fact that we're called together in ministry that we do, or are able to do, you know, encourage other couples together.
And even at this stage of life, we, you know,
right.
like we were talking about this morning, says, you know, aren't we supposed to be retired?
I said, we sure are busy.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not retired.
We're not retired.
Clarify that.
Yeah.
We're still, you know, doing some seminars and training and writing and all, but it's just been a joy to do it together.
Yeah.
Challenge probably is working together.
Okay.
You know, it's the other side of the same thing, that we sometimes get so involved in helping other couples that we forget, hey, it's been a while since we've had a date. Let's love our favorite date, all-time date, is our walk and talk date, and we have a 400-acre park right a mile from our house. So we have our walk and talk dates, and that's
when
we connect and we pray together and we brainstorm. And
it's also health is the other, you know, the other issue, and I think the fact that we do hike a lot. You know, our goal each year is to hike at least, you know, 300 miles. And
we're up to 154 or something.
Okay.
So far this year.
All right. So if you're out someplace in Virginia and you see this couple walking along, it could be Dave and Claudia, and they may be on.
And we
a
have
date.
Trekking poles, so yeah, that'll
sure.
identify us.
They may be lost, or they may just be out on a date. I mean, you don't, and they probably wouldn't necessarily know, but having a good time. Anyway, so.
If we come to water, that's the Potomac.
Okay.
We need to go the other direction.
Well, our time is gone, but we've had a great conversation as always with Dave and Claudia Arp, and I recommend you check out all their great resources available at their website, 10greatdates.org, the number 10greatdates.org. Just some practical, helpful, fun ways to stay connected with your mate and grow in love. As they say, the subtitle of the book is Connecting Love, Marriage, and Fun on a Budget. We've got some copies of their $10 Great Dates book to give away, so give us a call. We'll sign up for that, and we'll do a drawing here at the top of the hour. 877-933-2484. Dave and Claudia, blessings to you. Great to visit with you again.
Oh, thank you.
Neil and Dan, I enjoyed it.
Great to talk with you.
Dave and Claudia Arp checking us out with us today on Connecting Faith. You're listening to Connecting Faith, and we always appreciate the opportunity to connect on a every other Wednesday basis with Leith Anderson. Leith is a NAE president of the National Association of Evangelicals, was senior pastor of Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota for 35 years before retiring, and teaches in seminaries and speaks and writes, and we're always honored to talk faith and culture with him. Leith, Ted and I were just interested in getting some of your thoughts, because I know on your recent podcast you talk about prayer with Daniel Henderson, and one of the topics is the importance of praying together. And I'm wondering, say a bit more about that as we get started. Why is prayer as a group important?
Yeah, most praying is private. I don't know what the percentages are, but that's got to be 90-some percent is private. I mean, you know, I mean, personally, I pray through the day. I thank God for each meal, but I actually pray for the people in ambulances, and I hear fire truck sirens, and I think a lot of people do that. But the Bible teaches us there's a special importance to corporate prayer, where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name. It's just a special presence of God. So on the practical side, I think we learn, we grow when we pray with others. We get beyond praying just about ourselves, because so many of my prayers are just about me and my family and my needs. And then I think we also, to be theological about this, we're following the example of Jesus in the Lord's Prayer, where he said, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." You know, it's not my Father. So that's the biblical example, and it's also the personal benefit that we pray together.
We just talked about marriage here on this program with Dave and Claudia Arp as well. Can you just say a word too, Leith, about the importance of praying regularly with your spouse? What do you and your wife do?
Well, Charlene and I have known each other all of our lives, and, you know, we started dating the month that I turned 15, so we prayed together. I wish I'd kept a clicker account on all those months. But, you know, we take turns praying. We pray each morning together, usually at the breakfast table, and it is about what's going on in our world, but it's mostly family things and it's personal things, and there's just a special bond that comes when you pray together, and that's certainly true in marriage as well.
You know, there's a Pray Together Sunday coming up, and I know that's an important event that we've been just talking about as we go along here. But say more about this gathering and what you hope will be the outcome of this.
Well, it was last year that the National Association of Evangelicals initiated Pray Together Sunday, and it was great. We had a marvelous response. It's really pretty simple. It's a call for churches across America to set aside a time, everybody on the same weekend, the same Sunday, to just pray for our nation. And this year, it's on July 9th, and churches can sign up. They can get free bulletin inserts and other information at NAE.net. And we also have whole denominations that are joining in. So just in the last few days, I've seen promotions that are going out from Converge, from the Assemblies of God, and there are a whole lot more. So, you know, I would tell everybody and encourage your church to sign up, join in at NAE.net.
Pray Together Sunday coming up July 9th. Find out more, NAE.net. You know, we talked not too long ago with Frank Viola about the book that he wrote with Len Sweet called Jesus Speaks, Learning to Recognize and Respond to the Lord's Voice, and think, well, when we pray, we want to be listening to God's voice. But there's so many voices out there that are vying for and maybe sometimes shouting for our attention. Do you have some disciplines or habits that you practice to be better receptive to listening to God's voice?
My daily disciplines include a written prayer list, which I check off every day, Bible reading, and I write in a journal. And I also, you know, I like to listen to stories of fellow Christians. I'm challenged and blessed by God's voice in their lives. But, you know, honestly, Neil, hearing the voice of God is neither simple nor automatic for me, and I assume for most people. There are many times when I seek God's voice and I don't hear a thing, and there are other times when God speaks and influences me, and I really wasn't asking, I wasn't expecting. So I think the point here is that God is God, and he's the one that calls the shots, and not me. So I'm God's servant. It's never the other way around. I kind of like the prayer of Samuel in the Old Testament where he says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, that we should always be listening for God. And we also need to remember that God has already said a lot to us in the Bible, and that we should begin with the words he's already spoken before we expect to hear something new, but we're always listening for something new.
Good word. We're talking with Leif Anderson again, the president of the National Association of Evangelicals. Leif, the other day my daughter walked into the room right as the nightly news was starting, and in that first minute or two, there's all the headlines and the fear, and oh, we have to listen to this story. And I just said to her, you know, it's kind of fear-based open there, isn't it, don't you think, to help open her eyes to that? And there's a lot of voices that are just vying for our attention, as Neil said earlier. But how can we be aware of these top important news stories that we need to be praying about, but not falling into the depression that can come with that sometimes? Other issues of importance globally that aren't really getting the top billing on the news feeds that we should be aware of?
The nature of the news industry, especially with 24-hour news now, is that, you know, the old expression was, if it bleeds, it leads. Mm. And often this lead stories are painful. They're traumatic. And not that we shouldn't hear them and that they're not important, but they tend to be the loudest noises, and they drown out other things. And absolutely, when there are terror attacks, they are tragic, they are awful, they are horrific. Many of them that lead the news are the tragic deaths of a dozen people, sometimes 80 people. But we need to remember that there's a famine that's rising in Africa, in Nigeria, but especially in Eastern Africa, that may cost the lives of millions of people. And often we're just not aware of that type of thing. So my advice is that we need to care about others, not just ourselves, not just our own nation, not just people that are like us. We remember that God's love is for the whole world, and that's why he sent his only son. And then we need to adopt personal disciplines. We need to keep up on other people and other places, just force ourselves to do that and to pray. And I think also to say, what can I do? I realize none of us are going to meet the needs of a million people on the brink of starvation, but there are things that we can do. We can contribute. We can encourage our government to engage. And what is our part in maybe the lesser stories in terms of the agenda, but maybe the more important stories in terms of the need?
You know, one of the stories that we're following came out, I guess, the last week or so about the young lady who leaked some classified NSA documents as her effort to resist, as she said. And, you know, that just bothers me a bit. I think that we sort of take these things, I guess, maybe casually now. Are there some guidelines when we want to maybe resist what's going on in government or, you know, organizations, things that we don't feel are right? But what comes to mind for you?
There's a sadness when we take things casually that are really important. But there's only so much that you can take. And when there's such a, a fire hose torrent of information like this, there's just a natural resistance to it. The good news is that in America, we have ways to disagree and resist, including resisting our government. And number one is how we vote in elections. But we can also write letters to news outlets. We can call political representatives. We can participate in lawsuits and more. And most people in history, most people around the world today don't have those options. But in terms of the scripture, I read the Bible as tilting towards supporting government authority and using the legal means that are available. That's what the Apostle Paul did when he felt he was unfairly convicted. He appealed to Caesar as a Roman citizen. Sometimes there are extreme and exceptional circumstances that call for extreme and exceptional action. And that was the decision of Dietrich Bonhoeffer against Hitler during World War II. And he was unsuccessful in what he did, and he was executed. But the best advice is still to use all available legal means first and save anything beyond for the most extraordinary situations. I don't even like to think of an example of what that might be, because I kind of hope that won't happen. And it's maintaining that biblical balance within the context of the news that we hear every day.
You know, a lot of what we hear in the news, of course, has come into question of late. You know, is it fake news, real news? Dealing with a situation where my mother believes something that's simply not true. But it makes me wonder, how do we have conversations with people whose beliefs, maybe believing something that aren't true, and maybe they don't even consider truth as, you know, it's just your opinion?
Yeah, well, there's lots of opportunity for that, because people have really strong opinions. And the reality is that many people just make up their minds and then interpret whatever facts, no matter how obvious they may be, to fit their conclusions and their convictions. I do believe that we should listen, we should respect, and we should then explain our understanding of the truth. Well, one of the best ways to do it is often to tell a story, because people can identify in stories. But there's some people that just, they're not going to be persuaded. I had a nurse who once told me, you can't have a rational conversation with an irrational person. And it just doesn't work. But we need to remember that we're all influenced by the words of those around us. I'll just give you a quick example. Living in Minnesota in 1984, I thought Ronald Reagan would lose the presidential election. He won by a historic landslide. So I've wondered, why did I think that? Why was my interpretation so different? And the answer was that I live in Minnesota, and Ronald Reagan carried 49 states. He just didn't carry Minnesota. So I was disproportionately influenced by those who were around me, and I was comparatively ignorant of what was going on in 49 other states. So, there are lessons from this. We need to hear what others are saying outside of our own limited circle, but we also need to speak into the circle the truth that we know. And that will influence the circle in Minnesota and anywhere else. And that's what Jesus did. He spoke truth to Pharisees and to Sadducees, to Romans, Samaritans, all those in his own generation. And he accepted the fact that some believed and others refused to believe.
Influence the circle. I like that. Leith, thank you so much for your time today. It's always good to talk to you. Appreciate it.
Always good to talk to you. Blessings on you, Ted. And you.
All right. And check out Pray Together Sunday. Information available online at nae.net. I always love the opportunity to connect with Leith Anderson. Grateful that he will stop by every other week. And thank you for stopping by today, too. Hey, if you missed part of today's broadcast, our conversation earlier with Dave and Claudia Arp, we post those interviews on our show page after the show. And so you can listen to them again. You can pass them on to a friend. And go to myfaithradio.com and click on Connecting Faith for the podcast archives.
We're just about a month away from the Faith Radio Northwestern Christian Writers Conference.
That's right. In fact, counting down, it's just a few places left. And so if you haven't decided yet, there's just a few registrations still open for you. You can sign up today and go to our website, find out more about that. It'll be a great event coming up in July. Go to myfaithradio.com to find out about the Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. And I hope you'll join us tomorrow here on Connecting Faith for Ask the Professor. Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.